I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I begin reading with the 35th verse, read through verse 37. Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. Matthew chapter 12, please notice, beginning in verse 35. The Word of God says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." You know of anything more chilling than that? Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The words that we speak have a profound effect on our fellowship with God. The words that we speak have a tremendous effect on how much religion that we have. The Word of God teaches us that if a man seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, that man's religion is in vain. We need to all, every one of us, we need to be careful about the words that we speak. We need to be praying every day, "God, please give me acceptable words. Give me the kind of words that would be pleasing to you." We ought to be praying like David did in Psalm 19 and verse 14. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We need to pray that God would help us, that the words that we say and the way that we say those words, that God would help us, that all that we say, that it would be pleasing in God's sight. Now, the Word of God asks a number of times in the book of Romans, the Word of God says, "What shall we say to these things?" In other words, the Word of God will describe something and then say, "Now, what are you going to say about that? What are you going to say about that?" There are six times in the book of Romans that the Word of God will describe something. Sometimes it's describing a fundamental doctrine, but it will describe that doctrine, and then it will say, "What are you going to say about that? What do you have to say about that? What shall we say then?" It's important that we are very, very careful about what we say about the Word of God. Sometimes people hear the Word of God, and they don't like what they hear, and they respond with words that they're going to have to give account of in the day of judgment. So, turning your Bibles to the book of Romans, I'm not going to look at all of these, but I do want us to look at two or three particular expressions that are found in the book of Romans where the Word of God says, "What shall we say then?" What will you say when you hear this truth? What is the natural response? Are you going to respond in a natural way? Sometimes the natural response, I would say that if you only respond to what God's Word says, if you respond in a natural way, you're always going to be against what God's Word has to say. Because the natural man is contrary to the things of God. The natural man does not think like God declares. In Romans, let's begin tonight in Romans chapter 5. Listen, please, in the end of the fifth chapter of Romans, Romans 5 verses 20 and 21, and then Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, the last two verses of that chapter, and then the first two verses of the next chapter. The Word of God says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Is that a wonderful thought? Is that a great truth? That where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I thank God for that truth. That wherever sin abounds, grace does much more abound. But there's a false teaching you can get from that. There's a false security that sometimes God's people have when they hear this truth that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Sometimes the natural man will say, well, then I might as well sin a bunch so that grace will abound bunch. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 5, verse 21, after he said that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, he says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen to chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? You hear the question in Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's the question. He says, what are you going to say when you hear that where sin abounds, grace did much more abound? What are you going to say then? Are you going to say that we should continue in sin that grace may abound? He says in verse 2, God forbid that we would ever say such a thing as that. God forbid that we would ever take a truth that states that where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. God forbid that we would ever say that let's just continue in sin, that grace would abound even more. So there's a condemnation of that natural thought that man might say to where sin may abound, or where sin abound, grace does much more abound. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. The Word of God says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Sometimes the people of God actually say that the law is sin. Are you going to say that? Would you ever say that? Well, there are times that you hear the law of God and you say, that's not fair, that's not right, that's not good. When you say that, you're saying that the law is sinful. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. God forbid what? God forbid that we would ever say that the law is sin. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I go to Romans chapter 8. Some of these are going to be a little clearer than others. Look at Romans chapter 8. I think the ones in Romans chapter 8 and 9, in fact, I have read scriptures. I have read some of these scriptures to individuals, and they have said exactly what the Bible says that the natural man would say. Romans chapter 8. I want to begin with verse 28. Follow this carefully in the Bible now. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. We're talking about what do we sometimes say when we hear the truth of God's Word. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now listen carefully. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? What are you going to say when you read those great truths of salvation by grace and the providence of God in saving us? What are you going to say? And the Scripture says that we ought to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now that's something you ought to say. That's something, as we think about the text that we started with in Matthew 12, that we're going to be judged by every word that comes out of our mouths. You know, one thing we all ought to be saying is, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we ought to say. That's one of several things that the Bible says we ought to be saying that we should say is, if God be for us, who can be against us? Look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 10. Listen carefully. This is the most common passage of Scripture that gets people to say, that's not fair. All you have to do is read these Scriptures to most people, and they're going to say, that is not fair. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 10. The Word of God says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived, by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, that's what God said. That's what God said. And when you read those verses, what is the natural response? I just want you to tell me, what does your flesh feel whenever you read in God's Word that two individuals, twins, that before they were ever born, and they hadn't done any good or evil, that God declared the elder shall serve the younger, and God declared, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What's your natural response? What would you naturally say to that declaration? Tell me what you would say. That's not fair. That's not fair. In fact, sometimes people say, I would never serve a God that would do something like that. Listen to what the next verse says. After he declares election very clearly in those verses, he says, what shall we say then? Do we need to be careful how we respond to what God's Word says? What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unrighteous to have chosen one and not chosen another? Is God unrighteous to have said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated? Is God unrighteous to have chosen a people so great that no man can number out of every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe? Is God unrighteous to have chosen them and left others as they were? Is God unrighteous to have done that? God forbid that we would ever what? God forbid that we would say that there is unrighteousness with God. God forbid that we would ever even think that there is unrighteousness with God. But did God know what our natural response was going to be? He knew that our response was going to be that's unrighteousness, that there's unrighteousness with God. So he says, what will we say? Will we say that there is unrighteousness with God? God forbid that we would ever say such a thing as that. Verse 15 continues, and he says, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Does God have the right to have mercy on whomsoever he will? Does he have the right and authority to save whoever he pleases? Indeed he does. Verse 16 says, so then it is not of him that willeth. Are you saved by your will? Are you saved by making a decision eternally? It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. What does that mean? Does it mean, it means you don't work, you don't run in order to get to heaven? That's not going to get you to heaven. It's not by your will, it's not by your running, it's not by your working, but it's of God that showeth mercy. Now what are you going to say to that? Are you going to say there's unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God forbid. Because we're going to be judged by every word that comes out of our mouth. And if we ever read the Word of God and we rebel against the Word of God and we argue with the Word of God and we say, I don't believe what God's Word says, I want you to know there's going to be very severe judgment for our response to God's Word. Look at Luke. Back up in your Bibles to Luke. Let's go to some very simple things that we need to be saying. You know, they've outlawed, they say it's against the law to pray in school, have audible prayer, or to have prayers that where you say to the children, all of you rise and let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, you would think that they've outlawed it in the homes the way that most homes fail to pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, every day, even though they've outlawed it at school, if your children go to public school, you sure ought to be having prayer every day with your children. We had prayer every day at home and at school. You need to have Bible reading at home and at school. In Luke chapter 11, listen, Luke chapter 11, here's what was something we need to say, something we ought to be saying. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. Now, is that something that Jesus says you're supposed to say? When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Are these some words that God says, now here's something you ought to say? These are some good words to say. Remember that the scripture says in Matthew chapter 12 that we're going to be judged by our words. By our words, we're going to be justified, or by our words, we're going to be condemned. Now, if we have been using our mouth, if we've been using our voices to express acceptable words to God, and certainly these are some of the acceptable words that we ought to be saying, then that leads to God being pleased with the words that come out of our mouths. Look at Luke chapter 17. There's something else there that Jesus says that we ought to say. If you do something that's very good and somebody begins to praise you for something that you've done that's good, and all of us ought to be doing good things, and when people begin to commend you and talk about what good things you have done, Jesus tells you what you're supposed to say right then. Do you sometimes wonder what it is you're supposed to say? Well, listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. Luke 17 and verse 10, Jesus says, So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, here's what we ought to be saying, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Should we be saying that? Does Jesus tell us we ought to be saying that? Indeed, he does. We are, do all of us understand, that it doesn't matter if we've done everything, and we haven't, but if we do everything God tells us to do, we're still supposed to say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So when someone commends you for doing something, please remember Jesus has told you something to say, and that is, I'm an unprofitable servant, and I've only done that which was my duty to do. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 13, here's another statement that the Word of God gives us in John chapter 13. Jesus says, here's something else we ought to say. He gave us this as he was giving the example of feet washing. And I encourage all of you to go home and read and study John chapter 13 about feet washing. I believe that Jesus gave us a great example to kneel down and wash one another's feet. I don't know of anything more humbling and yet anything more precious than when the saints of God kneel down and wash one another's feet. And Jesus taught us, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. But in the middle of all of that, he says something in verse 13 relative to the words that come out of our mouth. He says in John chapter 13 and verse 13, he says, Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well. For so I am. Is it good to call Jesus Master and Lord? Absolutely. Jesus says, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Jesus is Master, and he is Lord. And we ought to call him Master and Lord. He declares it's good to call him Master and Lord. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13 just a moment. In Hebrews toward the end of the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, the Word of God tells us something else that we need to be saying. Hebrews chapter 13, these are some things that God's Word tells us to say. And we ought to know those sayings by heart, and we ought to be saying those things, and we need to be teaching these sayings to our children. They need to know things that they need to say. There ought to be common words that come out of all of our mouths. They ought to be the words that Jesus says. Now, here's something that you ought to be saying. In Hebrews chapter 13, listen please to verses 5 and 6. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, the Word of God says, let your conversation or your manner of life, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, that is God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Should we be saying that? The Lord is my helper? How often do you need to feel and to know that the Lord is your helper? I had a mother tell me today, she said, Uncle Billy, please pray that God will help me to raise my children in the right way. Sister Kim Kaiser. She said, I need prayer to raise my children the right way. Did you know that all of us need to be praying for all of these parents that God will help them to raise their children in the right way? I don't know of anyone that has a greater responsibility or a greater task or a more important job than mothers. I believe with all of my heart that the biggest failing in the past 25 or 30 years in America has been that mothers have thrown their children, they have sacrificed their children on the altar of this world. And I pray that God will help every mother here. They will begin to realize and to know and to assume the responsibility that you have as a mother and fathers. Fathers. I pray that God will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. I pray that God will bless mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, that we would all realize what a precious gift all of these children are. And I pray that God will help us as children of God, that we would teach our children things that we ought not to say and things that we ought to say. Let me give you one other scripture in Revelation chapter 22. There's another statement that the Word of God says that all of us ought to be saying. There are many children of God out there who do not go to God's house. There are many children of God who do not assemble together and worship God. And I believe the Word of God makes it plain that you and I ought to be saying to other people, come, come, come and worship with us. We ought to be saying that. And if we're not saying that, we are failing to say words that the Word of God says we ought to be saying. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Word of God says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, is that something that the Spirit and the bride say? And if we're the bride of Christ, what are we going to be saying? We're going to be saying, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Talking about things that we ought to be saying, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Brethren, this is not an invitation for people to get saved and go to heaven when they die. This is an invitation to come and take the water of life. The water of life does not give life. The water of life sustains life that's already there. And we need to be telling other people that are starving and are hungering and thirsting for the truth of God's Word. We need to be telling them, come, come and take the water of life freely. May God help us to know there are things we'd better not say. There are things that we must say. And I pray that God will help us to begin to teach others the things that we ought to be saying is my prayer for Christ's sake.